For just a moment, we're going to go to prayer. God bless you this evening. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord in the middle of New York City on a Tuesday night. Thank God for the victory. What an incredible victory. And many of us here this evening, we've got a reason to rejoice because the Lord has taken us. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken us out of every conceivable pathway and trap, walkway of life, and has given us a reason to live, and has changed us by His mercy into what we were intended to be, not what sin and rebellion made us into. The devil would want to kill you tonight, and I'm speaking specifically to somebody here that you've come in here this evening and you're convinced that your life is not worth living. All around you is sorrow, a sense of lostness. The things you thought you were going to achieve seem to be slipping through your fingers. Things that you hoped would never happen have happened. And you have this constant thought that keeps coming into your mind day and night. Your life is worthless. It's not worth living. Now, I want you to know something. That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil himself. You were created by God. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, I don't care what the circumstance of that was not an accident. God is the author and finisher of life. He's the one who permits life to be conceived. And when you were conceived, you were born for a specific purpose. That's why you're here this evening. The Lord's God's hand is on you, and He had something designed exclusively for you. And I want to tell you something. It will be fulfilling. It will give you a song like you've heard tonight. It will fill your heart with joy. It will give you a future. And you won't care who's looking at you. You'll be clapping your hands and singing. And the beauty of New York City is you can do that anywhere. And everybody just ignores you. Thank God. There's one city in the world where you can worship on the street and not get locked up. Anywhere else in the country, you might find yourself in a hospital. But not New York City. You can sing out loud. You can clap your hands. And you can worship God. You can thank God that all of the negativity that can be found in an environment like this has not had the power to draw you down and destroy you. God is able to set you free. It doesn't matter how many things you've allowed into your life. Now, some people sitting here tonight saying, but Pastor, you don't realize where I've been, what I've done, and what I've opened myself up to, what I've been watching, what I've been a partaker of. In the Bible, there was a man who lived in a cemetery, and people tried to help him, and nobody could help him. And he had so many things wrong in his heart and in his mind that he couldn't even name them. All he could say is, it's just a multitude. When he was asked, what is it that's bothering you, basically, he couldn't give it a name. He said, call me what you want. Depression, suicide, hopeless, despairing, doesn't matter. It's all inside of me, and it's all bunched together. And you and I would think that it would take, you know, a team of 35 psychiatrists, about 25 years to start unraveling this twine. Jesus said one word, leave. That's all he said, leave. And all of these things that were in his life, he's left and drowned in the sea. And folks, it's not any more complicated than that. Don't let it be made more complicated than that. You can have a miracle tonight. I had a service like this a couple of years ago, but maybe 4 years ago. And God gave me a word of knowledge. And I even pointed. I said, there's somebody up in the balcony here, and you've come into the house tonight. Now, a word of knowledge is a gift of the Holy Spirit. As God knows what's going on in the sanctuary, and He will speak it to somebody's heart. Doesn't happen all the time, but once in a while it does. And I said, you've come in, and you're giving God one chance to prove Himself, to be God. And if He doesn't prove Himself, you're going to kill yourself. I said, I want you to have courage tonight and stand up. And one man, about in his early 40s, tall man, kind of sandy blonde hair, stood up over here. Maybe some of you might have been here that night. And I had a group of people gather around, put their hands on him and pray. Pray for deliverance and freedom from that hopelessness that had gripped his heart. And I never saw him after that. And about 2 years later, maybe 3 years later, I was preaching at a pastor's conference in Texas. And this man, tall man, sandy blonde hair, walks up to me and says, now, you don't remember me probably, but I was sitting in the balcony in your church and I gave God one chance to prove Himself, or I was going to take my life. And you said that word that night. I stood up And the Lord set me free. And I'm a businessman, and I'm involved in missions work. That's why I'm at this conference. I'm helping missions work around the world. God took him out of depression and gave him a new life. And so I want to issue a challenge tonight, an invitation to freedom, may I call it such. For those that are sitting, it may take courage for you, because you may have convinced all your friends that you came with tonight that everything is okay. You might be playing a pretty good game, but you in your heart know what's really going on. And it takes courage. You see, the Bible says that God resists those that are proud, which means that those of us who feel we can do it in our own strength. But he gives grace. That means he comes down in mercy. And his power is made known to those who have a heart that says, I can't do this on my own. I need God to touch my life. And if you've been battling what I'm talking about tonight, if you don't think your life is worthwhile, and you have to fight this constant thought that you'd be better off dead than alive, I'm going to have you stand in a moment, and I'm going to have the people around you pray for you. And this is a night where God's going to do the miraculous in your life. He's going to set you free. If that's you tonight and the Lord's speaking to your heart, would you just please stand up? Would you do that without fear? Just wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. You, sir. God bless you. Just stand up. Don't be afraid. There's no shame in this. There's no shame in this, folks. We're going to defeat the devil right on his own ground tonight. Just take a moment. Just stand up. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. You're fighting this never-ending thought of wanting to finish your life. Just stand up, please. Join those. There's a few, maybe 12 or 15 people have stood up. Just join them now. Don't be ashamed. Is there anybody else? Because I know God's going to set people free tonight. I have that inner sense in my heart. Don't sit in despair when you can walk out of here dancing. You can walk out of here free. Now, for the rest of us, take note of those that are standing, and I want you to stand up around and lay your hands on these, put your hands on the shoulders of these people and begin to pray right now. And we're going to take authority over this. Father, in Jesus' name, we stand against this lie of the devil. We stand against this power of hell that comes against these people who have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And Satan, you are a liar. You're the father of lies. You can't speak the truth because the truth is not in you. These men and women are precious to God. They have been assigned by God a purpose in life, and they're going to live in victory. So we take authority over your despair. We take authority over all the thoughts of suicide. We bind that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty, we thank you, Lord, for victory and freedom tonight. We thank you, God, for breaking this spirit that has no place in this house, has no place among the people that are searching for God. We take full authority over this in the name of Jesus. We command this to be broken, destroyed, gone, forever, drowned, removed. Lord God, take this despair and turn it to joy. Take this sorrow and give it beauty. Lord, give these ones a song of joy. Give it to them tonight. Give it to them on the way home, on the subway, in their car, on the street corner. Give it to them in their workplace or where they're searching for work tomorrow. Give them this song of joy, this sense, oh God, this is the best Christmas I've ever known in my whole life. I went to church last night and God set me free. He set me free from the power of sin and death and hell. And I am free in Christ. Father, we thank you, God, for freedom. Freedom in this house, miracles in this house, deliverance in this house. The glory of God being revealed to us in this house. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you can do in 5 seconds what we can't do in 50 years. You can open prison doors and set captives free. You can give sight to those who are blind and don't see a way out. You can heal those that have been bruised in heart and open the treasure of Jesus to those that are poor in spirit. God Almighty, thank you for victory. This is a night of victory. This is a glorious night of victory. This is a night of triumph over the powers of evil. This is a night where we tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. This is a night where we condemn every tongue that has risen against us as the children of God in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom, oh God. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom, Lord. Freedom, 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 freedom. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. The chains are broken. The shackles are broken. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We came in one way. We're going out another way. Thank you, God. You're going to take these men and women and use their lives, God, for your glory. You're going to give them a song of victory, oh God, in this generation. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you for the victory of the cross, Lord. Glory to the name of Jesus. Give glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Freedom, freedom. Let's sing it, freedom.
Folks, I was bound with anger. I was bound with despair, fear of the future, bound with all types of hang-ups. But then when I came to Jesus, in one moment, he began to free me from all those things that held me. And that's what Christ will do when you surrender your life to him. He brings freedom. Come on. I said he brings freedom. He brings deliverance. He brings hope. He breaks the despair. He breaks the fear. He breaks the bondage. He sets the captives free. Hallelujah. He changes you so you're never the same. Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. Folks, we have much to pray about tonight. I want to pray for Pastor Ben Crandall. Tonight, I want to lift him up in prayer. His wife has been basically given 2 to 3 days now to live with the cancer. And so we want to pray for Pastor Ben Crandall tonight. We want to lift him up in prayer because we know we serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. We need to continue to pray for what the Lord is wanting to do through this church over the internet, through prayer as we begin to pray in January. As this prayer meeting goes worldwide, we want to lift that up to the Lord. We also need to continue to pray for the messages as they go forth from this pulpit. A pastor was sharing how the past 2 Sundays, how it's been such a battle to preach the Word of God. And so we need to pray for freedom to preach the Word of God. Folks, we are in a spiritual battle. And so we've got much to pray for. The scripture says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spirits of wickedness in the heavenly places. So folks, would you lift your voice to God? If you're tired, you can stay seated, but please don't go silent. Every voice counts tonight. I've given you 3 things to pray for. We're going to pray for Pastor Ben Crandall tonight, that God would strengthen him, that God will quicken him, that God would refresh him, that God will grant peace to his heart, that God will grant peace to Jean, Sister Jean's heart, amen, as she begins to go out into eternity, that God will be with her, that God will strengthen her, that the peace that passes all understanding will guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can you do that tonight? Can you pray for your pastor tonight? Lift your voice tonight. Begin to lift up Pastor Ben and Sister Jean. Father, we lift our voices to you. Come on, folks. Every voice counts tonight. You lift your heart. Hallelujah. You lift your heart. How many times have you been encouraged when Pastor Ben has come with a word from heaven? Hallelujah. Father, we fight for our pastor tonight. We thank you for this man and woman of God. We thank you for the grace that's upon them, Lord, and how so many years you've kept them. God, when we think of 68 years of marriage, God, 68 years of marriage, God, how they've walked together, Lord. How you have blessed them. How there's been tremendous love in that home and relationship. How they've stood together, Lord, in ministry. Lord, in fights and battles. Lord, for your namesake, for your glory. God, we lift them up tonight in their time of need. We thank you that they fought a good fight. They've kept the faith, oh God. Lord, Sister Jean has finished her course, oh God. We lift them up to you tonight, and we pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You are a comforter, God. You are the God of all comfort. We thank you that you're with them in this time of need. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said, oh God, Lord Jesus, when you walked through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, that we would not fear any evil, for you are with us, and your rod and your staff, they comfort us. God, would you bring comfort? Would you surround them, Lord, with your loving arms tonight? Surround them with your loving arms tonight. Strengthen them with might in the inner man. I pray, oh God, that as Sister Jean goes out into eternity, that your loving arms will receive her, oh God, and that it will be the most natural progression. I pray for Pastor Ben, oh God, that you will uphold him. God, that you will uphold him. We come against the spirit of despair. We come against the spirit of discouragement. We come, oh God, against the spirit, oh God, Lord of despair and discouragement, oh God, and hopelessness, Lord. Lord, that you will strengthen him, that you will fight for him, Lord, that you will steady him, that you will hold him. Father, we thank you that you will be there with him. God, you're there with him right now. God, and you're going to see them through this hour. You're going to see them through this moment. You're going to see them through this great time of testing, oh God. God, that you're going to wrap, that you're wrapping your arms around them even now as we pray. God, that you are their glory and the lifter of their heads. Father, we thank you for what you're doing now. God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the sphere of influence that you've given us as a church. We thank you, Lord God, for the ability, Lord, to go over the internet through the airwaves, God, and to preach this great gospel. We're asking and believing, God, Lord, that even as we gather on Tuesday nights to pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, will anoint us afresh and anew, Lord, this coming year to intercede like never before, to stand in the gap and to see you change not only lives and communities, but to see you change nations. God, we're believing, Lord, that you will enable us by the power of intercession, Lord, to see your great gospel furthered, Lord, to see your kingdom furthered, God, to see your purposes furthered, God, in this our generation. We're asking that over the airwaves, God, that you will continue to demolish strongholds, that you will continue to cause mountains of unbelief to melt like wax, that you will cause ministers and churches to arise, Lord, that you will cause your bride to arise, that, Lord, you will cause, Lord, the trumpet to be set to the mouth of your pastors, your ministers, God, and that they will go forth, God, with the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the messages that come forth from this pulpit. Father, we thank you for how our lives have been changed. We thank you for how marriages have been healed. Father, we thank you for where despair was, hope has come. Father, we thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you will cause your word to continue to come forth from this sacred desk. God, that this house, that this pulpit will be a burning bush in this generation for the glory and honor of your name. We stand against every force of darkness. We stand against the resistance of the enemy. We stand against every devil, Lord, that would seek to hinder the word from going forth from this pulpit. We say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. We will not be silent. We will not be quiet. We will not, hallelujah, go out in defeat. We have the victory over you. Devil, you are under our feet. We thank God for the victory of the cross. We pray that every pastor, as they go into their secret closet of prayer, God, that you will speak to them. I pray like Jeremiah, Lord, the word would be like fire shut up in their bones. God, that they would not be able to stay quiet, but that they would begin to prophesy under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, Lord, that your word will flow like a river from this house. Lord, that your word will flow, oh God, to the nations. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Carter. I thank you for our shepherd. Lord, we pray a hedge of protection around him. We pray you continue to strengthen he and Pastor Teresa. We hold up their arms tonight. Father, we hold up our pastor's arms tonight. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against them will ever prosper. Father, we thank you for them. We pray you would bless them, bless their children, bless their grandchildren. God, continue to watch over them. We thank you that you will perform the word that you've spoken to them. God, you will fulfill your purposes through them, God. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this hour. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. Give him a shout of praise tonight. If you believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank God for the privilege of prayer. Amen.
It's always a joy to be here. You are a family to Cindy and I, and it's always great to see my friend, Pastor Carter. He does. He does this to me every time I'm here. I try not to look at him during the service because I know if I just catch his eye, he's going to say, go with the thought. Go with the thought. So when he says stuff like, you know, that God spoke to him to leave his notes under the chair and stuff like that, I just, if that was me, I would have said, I bind you, Satan. That's exactly what I would have said. I would have said, I'm taking all my notes. And so what I did tonight, I'm not the man of faith, Pastor Carter is. That's the prepared sermon in that iPad. These are the scribbles. Those are the scribbled notes. So you better be right. I cannot try. If it goes bad, I'll just have them bow their heads and we'll pray. That's what we'll do. John chapter 16, I just want to give you just two thoughts. There's that word, Pastor Carter. John chapter 16, I've got some scribbles here I want to just share with you. And let's let the Lord just speak to us tonight. Let's just pray that God would just talk. I do want to talk to you about prayer tonight. This is such an important service for you. It's an important service for us on Tuesday nights at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And so what's awesome is that we're going to believe that God's going to raise up more people to pray. Anybody ever just say this? I say this all the time, especially when it comes to prayer. I always say this, Lord, why do you take so long? Anybody with me on that? Am I the only one that has ever said that? He takes too long just to do something. And so let me just read this to you. Until now, John 16:24, this is from the Upper Room Discourse. Until now, Jesus says, you've asked for nothing in my name. And then he just simply says these words. And these are the words that got me kind of angry with the Lord. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. And I'm just going, boy, that's easy to say, but it takes too long. It's easier to read it than God does in fulfilling it. Ask and you will receive. And I'm just going, Lord, I've asked, but where's the receiving? You take way too long. So Jesus, help us tonight. There's so many things we have prayed for. And so God, we want patience. We want wisdom. We want your Holy Spirit to guide us tonight, Lord. We have come here to pray, to seek your face. For those, God, that stood up tonight as Pastor Carter was speaking, God, that word of knowledge, I thank you that, God, you do things instantaneously. And then you make us wait, God. And that's the frustrating part. You can heal instantly. You can save instantly. You can speak instantly, God. It's just when you delay, that's what causes, Father, sometimes the frustration. I get frustrated with you, God, because, Lord, I've asked so many things and I'm still on hold, I feel like. I'm still waiting. But God, it doesn't mean that you're not doing anything. You're doing a whole bunch right now. So tonight, bring hope in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There was an article I read a few years ago. It caught my attention because it had to do with something that we did in Detroit for about 3 decades, and that it was it had to do with a church and a XXX movie theater. Well, we had them both combined into one. We took over a XXX movie theater and turned it into a church. But there was a church down in the South in this article that said that started, built this brand new building. I'm not sure if I remember the state, so I won't even mention it. But down in one of the southern states, built their building congregation without any type of laws or any type of zoning laws. In a matter of a year, a XXX pornographic theater built its main theater right next to the church. If you could just imagine that, if you could imagine leaving here in Times Square Church and just seeing that theater, that you'd have to walk out, you'd walk out of children's church. And so they were so upset with what happened that the church, for the first time, called a prayer meeting and said, "We're going to believe God to take care of this thing." And that's exactly what they did. They started praying. And what's amazing is that in about two months, a storm came and lightning struck the XXX movie theater and burned it to the ground. Burned it to the ground. But that wasn't the article. The article was this. So the XXX movie theater lawyers took the church to court and said, "Your prayer meeting burned down our theater." And so they sued the church for praying for fire to come from heaven and said, "Your prayer meeting is responsible for this." And the church was on the defensive side, said, "It's not our fault. We didn't do it. It wasn't us. It was, you know, the fire came down, but it wasn't us." And the judge in the article said something that was absolutely amazing. He says, "So here we have it, a pornographic theater that believes in prayer and a church that doesn't believe in prayer." I can just tell you, if this church prayed down a theater in lightning strike, send us to jail. That was prayer, and that was God who did that thing. But the thing that frustrates me is, I was just scribbling some notes down. The thing that frustrates me when I read this is that I wish stuff happened that quick. Don't you? That you just pray and lightning comes. You ask God. See, the asking part is easy. The receiving is the frustration part. And most of us sit in this place that we have asked, but we haven't seen. We've done part one, but we haven't seen part two. It'd be so awesome for some of the things that you prayed for tonight, some that you could just come to the altar. We pray, you go out, and the answer's waiting for you on Broadway. Wouldn't that be fantastic? God, I need a husband, and he's waiting in the alleyway for you. But this doesn't happen. I have to pay my bills, and the usher comes and goes, "Someone left a bag of money for you tonight." Doesn't happen. What is it? And I'm looking at this passage, and my heart was just going, "God, there's some stuff that I'm praying that I'm just not seeing the answer fast enough." And it is according to the word, whether it's salvation for somebody or wanting God to do something. And I just feel like God's not going quick enough. And if the prayer is according to the scripture, I know I'm on good ground. And so I'm waiting, I'm going, "God, what is it?" And I know there's sometimes we pray things that are that there's no way God's going to answer, and there's no reason to wait for it. We were taking prayer requests not too long ago with our kids, and so you're going down, "What do you want? I want this, I need a better grade at school," and going down. And then we got down to Lauren, and so Lauren's prayer request was, "I want to fly." So I'm going, "Well, that's not going to happen." I said, "You're not going to like just all of a sudden." She wanted to grow wings and fly to school every day. I said, "Well, that's not going to take place." I said, "So come up with something else." So that's not a prayer God's going to answer. But why does he take so long? Because that's the frustration part. I read it too fast. I read "ask and you will receive" too fast, because I forget what God does in after I ask. Let me say this to you, and here's the two thoughts, and then I'll close. It just goes like this. God will never give something to you that you're not ready for. He'll never give you something that you're not ready for. Our frustration, I think, is so misguided that sometimes we blame God for the delay when really it's the maturing process and the growing process in us. That the things I get frustrated with God about, God goes, it's not my incapability, but it's your immaturity that is causing the delay here. That I've got to grow you before I put something in your hand. That God is a father, and he won't put a position, he won't put responsibility, he won't put sometimes what you've asked for in your hands, knowing that you'd lose it just as quick. Or that thing could bring pride, or that thing could become your demise, or that thing become your downfall. And there's so many times I'm asking God, and God goes, fine, let's start the growing process inside of you. Let's see what God wants to do. And that becomes the frustration part. Because when I ask, then it's God putting you through his curriculum. Because what he does is he says, listen, he says, your prayer kind of looks like ruler over much, but God goes, I'm going to teach you to be faithful in the little things first. I'm going to teach you to walk with just the simple things that I place inside of your hands. Just little things that God goes, I want you just to be faithful so I can begin to do what I need to do. So when he takes a Stephen and he gives him, think about this, he gives him the second longest sermon in the Bible next to the Sermon on the Mount. How does God do that? You know what he does? He puts them in Acts 6 and says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to serve widows at a table who can't pay you back, who can't promote you. So I want you to do something that no one's going to give you applause, but a bunch of angry widows who didn't get their food, you're going to go ahead and serve them. And then once you're faithful in that, before you know it, you're going to be giving the second longest sermon in the scriptures in Acts chapter 7. How do you go from serving widows to the second longest sermon? That's how God does it. That's his curriculum. We would think we would need a Bible college degree, take homiletics, learn exegete. God goes, just serve widows and watch what I can do in one chapter of your life. Just be faithful to one thing. And we forget that God is doing a growing process inside of us. He's a father and would never put something in our hands. And we forget sometimes that what we want is not what we need. I remember when I got my license, I asked my dad, I knew when I got my license, I knew what God, kind of car God wanted me to drive. But my dad had a whole another plan for what he saw me in and what I saw me in. So I'm going to date myself twice. So he told me, he said, you get your license, I'll buy your first car. So I've already looked in magazines and everything else. And he wasn't looking in magazines. And he came home one day with the largest automobile I've ever seen in my life. It was an LTD. Anybody remember an LTD? It's exactly right. It was as large as this stage. He showed up with this car. LTD Brome. Brome. I don't even know what Brome means. That's what it was called. And it was no bucket. It was the bench seats. How many remember the bench seats that everybody had to move up together just to move the seats up? And he goes, that's your car. I'm going, I don't see that. And so this is what I see you in. This is you. And so you're driving this thing through. And he went, this is it. This is what I get. See, my view was this. Date myself a second time. There was a movie that came out called Smokey and the Bandit. And there was a Trans Am that I knew God wanted me to drive in order to do the ministry. It had a bird on it. How many remember that movie? No, put your hand down. We're in a prayer meeting. So we're sitting there. I'm thinking Trans Am. My father is thinking LTD. And this is what goes through his mind. Be faithful with the LTD and pay the LTD insurance. Don't get LTD tickets. Don't get LTD parking tickets. Do LTD maintenance. And then let's see how God blesses in the future. But if I put Trans Am in you, this thing can just be, go absolutely wrong. And so I get frustrated when God begins, I pray Trans Am, God puts LTD, and he's just going, I just need you to be faithful because I'm growing you at this moment. I'm doing something deep inside of you. So you get frustrated, and God goes, just get the gas in there every week. Pay the insurance on time. Do what you're supposed to do. And God continually says, listen, I will never put something in your hand, a position, a pastor in a church, a ministry, money, finances, that you, that could become a demise to you. I've got to mature. So when you ask God something, the growth process comes. The curriculum starts. We just think it's so bogus sometimes what churches teach just to simply say, you ask and it's going to be the growth. God's got to grow us. He's got to grow me. He's got to do stuff inside of me. And then the part that I just get so amazed with what God's doing, and I close with this, the thought that I just jotted down, is God just began to speak to my heart and says, you have no idea. He says, asking, that's easy. That God just goes, you have no idea what I do to even get that request to you. Listen, Times Square Church, you pray one thing, God does 10,000 things to make that thing happen for you. 10,000 things. You just go, Lord, I just need this. And God goes into action for you. He puts 10,000 things into motion just to do what you've asked. That's how amazing our God is. I mean, just think for a second. I was talking with Elder Jerry before we came out. What if Elder Jerry was here before he came to church, just getting off the train and just walking with his briefcase and just goes, oh God, I just need a word tonight. Do you understand what God has to do to answer that simple? He's just walking. I just need a word tonight. So God goes, oh, easy for you to say. Because now God has to do this. So what I have to do is I've got to, on this night, for this message to be preached, I've got to move 3 years ago in Colorado Springs on a kid's heart at an altar while Pastor Carter's preaching and I'm weeping and God's beginning to speak to me that I'm going to be leaving Detroit and coming to New York. So he starts 3 years ago, starts moving upon my heart, and then all of a sudden, God has to move on Brooklyn Tabernacle and Pastor Cymbala's heart to call me to come up to New York. And then all of a sudden, let's fast forward, Pastor Carter's got to go, you know what? In December, let's go ahead and invite Tim DeLena on this date so he can come to the church, preach this message. But oh, God goes, he's been having some physical issues. He has a back problem, so I got to make sure his back is healed so I can get him on that date to come to this place while this man just gets off the subway and Elder Hampton just going, I need a word tonight. Can we get a little crazier? Watch this. Elder Jerry, I need a word tonight. Now watch. Let's go all the way back, and I have permission to tell this story. I have a brother who's 15, or a sister who's 15 years older than me, and I have a brother who's 10 years older than me. And I'm not saying this to be funny. I really was an accident. My mom didn't want any more children. She had me at 44 years old in 1963. Which is very dangerous. So she told me, she didn't tell me this till I was in my mid-30s. She just goes, she said this to me. She goes, I didn't want you, she said, because I was done with diapers. I had a boy, I had a girl, and I was done with kids. And when I found out that I was pregnant, she said, I was so upset. And this Jewish doctor said to my mother, Sonia, who knows? Maybe God will use that boy one day. My mother goes home and 3 months into the pregnancy wakes up one morning and there's blood all over the bed. 44, 1963, you're 3 months pregnant. It's not a good thing. It's very dangerous for that. In fact, she called the doctor. The doctor said, stay completely still because you've probably lost the baby at that age. Because there wasn't the technology and the medical things that we would have today to even work with her. She said, stay still. It's going to take me 2 hours to get there. You've probably lost the baby, but let's just believe that the baby's okay. And this is the hard part. And this is the part my mom told me. My mom got up out of bed. She went to the garage. She got a jump rope and jumped for the next 10 minutes to try to lose the baby. And as she jumped, she said she felt a thump in her womb, and she thought, I've finally done it. I've lost the baby. She went back to the bed. She laid down, stood very still. The doctor walked in and said, thank you for staying still. And said to my mom, as he examined, I hear the heartbeat. The baby is absolutely fine, and you're going to be in good condition. And then this man has the audacity to say, I need a word tonight. God goes, do you know what I've got to do? I've got to go back to some crazy woman in a garage jumping rope. I've got to protect this baby, get him to New York, get this man to call him up to preach this. And then he's got to walk over and go, preach the thought. And then he's got to come right over here and do this. And all you said was, I need a word. That's how great God is. You do one thing, he does 10,000 things. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Let's thank him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all you did was ask. And he said, watch what I have to do. But what's amazing is he can do it. He can do it. Hallelujah. That's why when I read, there's only been a few books that literally brought me to tears. And one line that I remember to this day, I jotted it down. From the classic by Thomas A. Kempis called Imitation of Christ. And he says these words. And literally, it so touched me that I had to put the book down on this one line he said. Think about this, Elder Jerry. He just simply says this. God, you serve me more than I serve you. So just for a second, pause and think about what he... You serve me more than I serve you. All I did was ask, and God does 10,000 things. God saved my daughter. She's in college. God, I don't know what she's doing. God goes, watch me go into action. He's got to save a student to get them in their life, and who knows, puts them in the same dorm. They sit next to each other in the same lunchroom, the same cafeteria, or the same biology class. And God goes, all you did was ask, save my daughter. And who knew that they could have chose between three colleges, and then they choose that one to get to the same dorm so they can talk to your daughter in the same class. And all you did was say, save my daughter. That's how amazing our God is. That's how awesome he is. So you know what I said? I said, okay, so if there is a long distance between ask and receive, I'm willing to wait. I am so sorry for being frustrated with you. Because maybe I do need to grow. And maybe there are 10,000 things that have to be set into motion. You just say one thing and God goes into action for you. Think about it. As I'm watching Pastor Patrick just go back and forth, and you're praying for Zambia, and you're praying for our nations, and you're praying for all these places around the world, and you're asking God to do these incredible things on this pulpit, and you're asking God to touch Ben Crandall's wife. Do you know what God has to go through just to answer that? And we say prayer is work. Try being God. Oh, we got to pray. He was here. He's here at 5:30. Oh, so we have to pray like for an hour. for an hour. Do you know what God has to do with the things you've asked him tonight? But that's why he's God and you're not. That's what makes him awesome. So tonight, just over the last minute or so, you've been frustrated with him. Why are you taking so long? He's growing you. He's maturing me. And he's putting 10,000 things into motion with the thing that you've asked. You've got the easy part. Can we just understand? You've got the easy part. You just say, God, I need this. God, would you help me? Help me find a job. You have no idea what he's putting into motion. Tim, just answer that. But he's able because he loves us. And he promises that when we call upon him, he will answer us and show us great and mighty things. So tonight in the balcony on the main floor, I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you during this season that you're going, God, this has taken so long. But it really is just an altar of repentance just to say, God, I am so sorry for my impatience. I should be down here myself. And here I am, God, just to say, grow me and do your 10,000 things, God. And I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait, Lord God. But you know what? Some of us have come here in the choir. Greg, how great is our God? Let's do that. But you know, you could be in the choir and you've been frustrated. You're singing your songs, but you're frustrated with him because he hasn't answered so quick. But he's growing you. And 10,000 things have been put into motion. I don't know which one he's up to. But he's doing it for you. He's doing it for me. And that's why I just go, God, you're in charge. You're in charge. And I'm so sorry for being frustrated. I'm so sorry. I'm so impatient. I'm so impatient. And so tonight, balcony, main floor, choir, stay, whatever, wherever you're at, it doesn't matter. It's just going to be an altar. Just to say, God, grow me and do your 10,000 things. Sorry for being impatient. Sorry, God. Every time I come here, God, I want to remember what's happening once I ask something. It just may be for a few of you tonight, but I would join you tonight and just simply say, God, give me the patience that I need. Grow me and do your thing. Do your 10,000 things. And as we sing this, why don't you get out of your seat if that's you and just say, you know what? I need to come and just say, God, sorry, grow me tonight and do your 10,000 things. I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait. Forgive me of being frustrated. Come on, the splendor of the King. Just sing it to him.
The splendor of the King.
We're going to sing this in just a second. Name above all names in just one moment. How many have been with me? You just said, Lord, you're taking too long with this. Are you with me on that? But tonight, let's just lift both hands and let's just begin to say, just say this way. Say, God, I'm sorry. You have it all under control. I ask you tonight to grow me. Make me ready for what I've asked for. And God, tonight, do your thing. 10,000 things. I trust your timing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 So now, Father, I pray your hand rest upon them as we get ready to declare you're the name above every name tonight, Lord God. Lord, we stand here as frustrated people, but we say, God, you serve us more than we serve you. You have served us way more than we have ever. And God, we have the audacity to say, we've asked, where is it? And God, we don't even realize you're doing 10,000 things for us. We just whisper a prayer from a subway. We whisper a prayer when we walk into this building and we have no idea. You do hear it. And you do go into action, oh God. Give us the patience. Give me patience, oh God. And we say, grow us, mature us. It's not because you're incapable, it's because of our immaturity. But God, we want to grow tonight. We say, put us in your school, put us in your curriculum tonight. Help us to be faithful in the small things. And Father, tonight, forgive me, forgive us of the impatience of not realizing how many things are going into motion. And only you can do that. We say tonight, what an awesome God we serve. You are awesome, God. Nobody can do what you do, Lord Jesus. So we say that you are the name above every name. Come on, lift your hands and sing that part.
Pastor Tim, I'm so glad you went with the thought tonight. That was a wonderful word. Let me give you a practical story of what you've heard this evening. Well, the first time David Wilkerson needed help in this church. And it was becoming overwhelming. The church grew quickly. There was a need of infrastructure. And he needed help. And he began to pray. He prayed about 2 years before I came. And he prayed, God, I need help. And you know I need help. I'm going down under the weight of this. You've got to send help to me. And he said, the Lord answered me and said, I do have somebody, but he's not ready yet. Now, I'm at the other end of the world in a little town called Riceville, Ontario, Canada. It's as far away from New York City as you can get in stature, size, thinking. Riceville is so small that the front end of your car is leaving town before the back end comes in. And when I finally came here 2 years later, we were walking down the street together, and David Wilkerson, not telling me he'd been praying, he said to me, what has the Lord been doing in your life for the last 2 years? And I said to him, well, I've been getting through having my house burned down and lose everything. Getting through a personal betrayal that was so wounding, it was hard to recover from it. I suffered a physical breakdown, and it took me 6 months to recover. In short, I guess I could say the Lord's been killing me. And I told him, I'm now at the point, I had no idea I'm coming to New York City, I'm just here to speak. And I said, now I'm at the point where I don't want anything in my life but the will of God. I have no agenda, I have no plan, I have no nothing. I just want the will of God for my life. And I remember his words were in front of a show that used to be called Cats over here on Broadway. And he said to me, he said, that's good. That's good what God's been doing. That's good. You know, at the time, I wasn't an amen chorus. I didn't think it was that good. It was an awful 2 years to go through. But isn't it something that one man is praying for help, another man is praying for the will of God? God is going to bring us together, but in between those two prayers is a work that he has to do to make us ready. And as you were speaking tonight, I was thinking of Hannah who came. The scripture says she came annually into the temple with a simple prayer. God, give me a child. 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 Every year coming up. God, give me a child. Go home. 12 months later, still no child. Come back. God, give me a child. God, give me a child. And finally, she came to the point of desperation. She said, if you do something in my life, I will bring this child back to you for your glory and for your house and for your kingdom. And God said, that's what I've been waiting for. And you see, through Hannah's life came the prophet Samuel, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament who anointed King David, and you know the whole story. But if she wouldn't have gotten to that point of saying, if you give me a child, I'll bring him back, she would have taken Samuel, if God had answered the prayer in any of the previous years, and just taken him home. And you see, sometimes God waits until we are ready to say, Lord, if you will do this in my life, I will bring it back for your glory. I will speak about this, oh God, everywhere I go. I will testify of your goodness. I will talk about you, Lord, and your miracle power if you will do this in my life. And sometimes that's just the prayer that God is waiting for. I won't take it home and use it for myself, Lord. I'll use it for your glory and for your kingdom. Have patience. Praise God. And if you're praying, he's going to answer your prayer. I can say that after all these years now that he answers prayer. Not on our timetable. On his timetable. And I love the illustration of all the things that are set in motion to answer the prayer. My goodness sakes, man. If I could just think that I went through all of that because David Wilkerson was saying, I need help. So it's like a big fist came out of the clouds. Bang, 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 bang. I'm preparing you to preach in New York City. Hallelujah. Oh, God's ways are so much higher than our ways. But I tell you, he's faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. You heard a word from the Lord tonight. Thank God for that word. Father, we bless you tonight, especially since we have prayed and do pray for many things, Lord. And God, we've learned over the years that we can't rush you. Your timing is your timing. And you do what you have to do, and you do it when it needs to be done. Lord, we don't question that. We thank you, God, for how faithful you really are. You are a faithful God. Nothing can change that. Lord Jesus Christ, give us spiritual eyes and spiritual hearts to see that your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts. But you do answer the prayers we pray. We bless you for that, oh God, with all our hearts tonight. Thank you for men and women at this altar who are going to know the answer to those deep, deep, deep longings of the heart. God, you're going to answer in ways that we don't even understand that it will be an answer. But Lord, you will answer, God, and we will see. And Lord, I thank you for it with all my heart tonight. I bless you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Let's close with that song one more time. How great is our God, name above all names. And let's go rejoice. Go with faith in your heart tonight. God bless you.